Blog Talk Radio.
For joining me. Hello, Faith Talk friends. How are you? And also, hello, Blog Talk friends. We've been away for a while. I'd like to say thank you so much for joining me and being online with me. And for those of you who don't know where you are with Omi, the production studio. Let me see where we are here. Okay. Again, Kasiki Habari Gunny, those who are, let's say here, we're doing something different here. We're doing, whenever we change that thing around, if it'll let us get back to where we were. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining me. You're in Omi Studio, production studio, and for those of you who don't know where you're at, you've asked somebody, you're in the production studio, Omi Inc. 7. Happy New Year to everyone. And I'm so glad that we could meet again today and could talk about the upcoming New Year and what we are projecting for the New Year. We're going to be talking a little spiritual tonight, as well as on point to talk about our election and what has transpired for the indigenous African American or indigenous first world people, shall I say. Once again, I'd like to say hello to my Facebook friends that are out there. You're welcome to come in, Facebook friends. And I'd like to also say hello to Blog Talk friends, my faithful followers. Pick up that phone line. First of all, I want you to give me the 2 thumbs up ahead of time. I want you to actually become a follower and not necessarily a friend. I don't need any more friends, but I certainly do need some followers. So why don't you line up to go ahead and push the button to become a follower. Now, see, I told you, if you walk with me now, I'm going to let you run with me later. Yes, I'm going to let you be a part of this team. And this team is Inca 7 and Tribe. We are also talking about the Oracle Divination Network. For those of you who didn't know, we have a network. And if you don't mind, go out and sign up in the network and become a follower. Yes, we're going to be doing some wonderful, wonderful things this year, ladies and gentlemen. We are going to be true to our nature. We're going to be focusing in on the Oracle Divination Network side of it. We're going to be talking about young people going into training to become priests and priestesses. And we're going to talk about membership, how you can become a member free of charge here on Oracle Divination Network. And those people of Co-op who would like to become a member of the Co-op, not doing enough to exploit the actual traditions of our forefathers. And that is to become connected to traditional African way of life. It is not a religion. A lot of us have given up religion and we have given up on going to church, but please don't give up on spirituality. You need your spirituality and don't let anybody fool you. Oh boy. You need your spirituality and you must stay with it no matter what you're doing, ladies and gentlemen. You must stay with your spirituality you must remember that you cannot do anything in life without a spiritual guide. Yes, you need to bow down to something greater than yourself, and you need to really, really think about positioning yourself to become God. That's right. Yes, ye a little God, little children, and ye have overcome them. God rests, rule, and abide within your being. And he said if he didn't go, the Christ-like one who wore the Christly crown said if he didn't go, the Holy Spirit could not come. The Comforter wouldn't come. Now that the Comforter is here, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? You must live a priestly life, and you must dedicate your life to God and ask God to put you in his plan. And really, you are God. See, the Buddha taught us that we are God and that we look inside ourselves for every solution. Why are we all looking outside of ourselves for solutions? All our solutions are inward. And that's where we must look for a cure for the coronavirus as well. Don't get it twisted. Don't get it confused. We can find a solution to unknown conditions, diseases, and we know that Oludulamare, who is the God of the indigenous first world people, he, she, or it knows the solution to the cure of all diseases and the inception of them. This is the tradition being taught through your book. We've been taught this. Once again, let me do roll call, and I'd like to invite you in, Facebook friends. You are welcome here today. This is New Year's Day. Always bring it in any kind of problem. If you don't know, you better ask somebody, because we're going to commercial. Sign up to be a part of a free network. That's right. We are getting together a family resource center for our families, our indigenous families who have children that are special populations, children that have undifferentiated needs in school. As you know, school has been broken down now. Most parents are doing virtual schools or homeschooling. We're going to be talking a little bit about what some of you can do. Children are hooked up to a network so that they can get some help. You can also come to my network. I am also a school teacher, and I'm certified for K-9 in the state of Indiana, Illinois, in the state of Indiana for K-8. I can help you with curriculums for homeschool, and I have put together a pilot school in my home for working with preschoolers and infants and toddlers, so that some of you parents can get an understanding what is age appropriate for your preschoolers and infant and toddlers. I do specialize in working with kindergartners who have been retained and held back. How are you doing, Thomas? Thank you so much, Mr. Anderson, for joining me this evening. Thank you, and Happy New Year to you. I do specialize in working with kindergartners who have been retained and who are not recommended to go on to first grade. I get those children ready to go on to first grade over the 6 months that they are with me. So I have a getting ready for kindergarten program that I implement for those children whose parents have gotten letters stating that their children are being retained. So you ask yourself, how is it that kindergartners are being retained? What would be the reason you would retain a kindergarten? Well, there are several reasons. Kindergartners are now doing first grade work, and it could become difficult if they have no support at home with mothers helping them with their homework, reviewing the high frequency words, flash words, doing phonemic awareness, enunciation, encoding, and outcoding. The children are actually getting ready for reading readiness, and they're learning to read. They're not just playing all day, eating crackers, and laying on their carpet. They are really institutionalizing the first grade. As you know, in the state of Indiana, most parents know that their children don't have to attend school until they're 6 years old. But I wouldn't suggest you keep your child at home till he's 6 years old. I would find some form of school or some institution like a homeschool to put your child in to help socialize them. What do I mean by socializing? I mean that child must learn to get along with others and learn to gain friendship and learn to share and wait their turn. It's very vital that we do socialize our kindergartners. We don't want them growing up like wild weeds. And when they come to kindergarten, they don't know what's appropriate. They can't sit still for a story. They're acting out. They won't wait their turn. Now they're getting ready to get retained. They will not go on to first grade. Mothers are devastated. What do you mean my little Johnny is not going on to first grade? Why did he fail? How could you fail kindergarten? Isn't that where you go to socialize? Yes, it is. But most districts have demanded that they now start getting ready for reading readiness. They recommend that the child come to school with a minimum of 5,000 words. And normally that is not the case in Black communities. Children are coming to school with many words, but not the high frequency words. So when they get in the classroom, they are delayed already because they don't have the 5,000 words to work with. Now, let me say something. We talk a lot about English as a second language, and we frown upon a second language, but we should, because we are speaking Ebonics when we speak our first world language. That's right. Ebonics is a regularized code that we use in our community, and that is our first language. Our second language is dealing with, most of us can't speak it. Those of us who are coming into kindergarten are not speaking Orthodox language. We're speaking Ebonics, and it is a language, believe it or not. So therefore, we have to get our child ready for the King's language, and that is speaking English and Orthodox English so that when they go to kindergarten, they're not retained. Most of the problem comes in because they are not familiar with how to encode, outcode, and do phonemic awareness and unlock words. They're not able to find the key to unlock those vowels, short vowels, and long vowels, and those consonant blends. It's very vital that a teacher understand how to use language and use the reading language to teach a child to read. If she doesn't know and she's never been taught in school, she should go back and get an endorsement in English as a second language, because they will teach her the language of English as a second language, Orthodox language. And then she can properly teach children how to read, to spell, and to write. Now, if you notice, some of you teachers are not teaching penmanship anymore. It is not a required curriculum. Isn't that unfortunate that children can come out of kindergarten not having good penmanship? Well, then what do you base their grades on? How do you evaluate them and assess them if you cannot see good penmanship? If you can't read a diagram or a paragraph or a summary, what will you judge the child on if you cannot decipher what their penmanship is? Isn't that a shame? that they would be so frustrated that they would take penmanship out of the curriculum. Parents should be irate about it. They should demand that every child takes his time to properly write his A's, lowercase and uppercase as well, and have an understanding for how Danilian handwriting matriculates right into cursive. Most of our third graders and fourth graders cannot read cursive writing because they'll say, I'm not cursive writing yet. I don't know how to cursive write, so therefore I can't read that paragraph. Isn't that a shame that we're leaving out the most important discipline, and that is penmanship? Parents should be irate about the fact that the district does not require that they learn how to write Danilian handwriting for cursive writing. That's a shame. Now, let me go on, because we're going to be talking about quite a few things today. We've got a lot of hours to deal with, and we're not going to rush you in this situation, but we're going to let you be able to get through the summer. The summer's gone now, so relax. Hold tight. All right now, come on, go with me. Remembering the summer, this little crisis is about the summer. All right, let's get a dream on this while we take a commercial. Get to the wall clock room. I'm talking about all of the Nation Network. How's everyone doing over in the Facebook room? Mr. Thomas and the wife, thank you so much for joining us. As well as on Blog Talk, Vocal Diva Nation Network. Thank you so much for joining me. We want to also cover the election. We did a thorough job of covering the election on Facebook, but I don't think the people on Blog Talk heard that segment. I would like to review a little bit about the election and what happened to the vote, the votes of Black American, the indigenous people, and what did our votes come in at? Did we help anybody win? And did we still demand those things that we had on our agenda? And are we still looking for those things to come into fruition? A lot of people have pretty much gotten fed up with the election and said, well, we're never going to get anything that we need, and we might as well just go along with the program. No, you don't have to go along with the program. I understand that there's some people that are talking to our groups of indigenous people about forming our own alignment, being true to our own. We don't need any more individual leaders. Each one of us can represent ourselves as a leader, but we still need organization. Everybody cannot be a leader, and everybody cannot voice their opinion about what we're going to do. We collectively need to come up with one agenda, one spokesperson to speak on our behalf, but at the same time, we got to do something about this education right now. We cannot wait for our opponents who have won the election come in and set the record of our education system. Our children are drifting away. They're losing interest, and you must present information in the curriculum at the time that the child's window is open.
Our preschoolers' windows are only open for a short time. So we have to go in there and implement a good, strong curriculum program for our preschoolers as well as for our infant and toddlers. That's right. We must start at that age of getting that child to have eye-hand coordination and making sure that that child has tracking skills and making sure that the child has not been exposed to any drug-related activity which can cause the child to be delayed. That's right. As an early childhood specialist, we do an assessment on infants and toddlers to see if they've been contaminated by any drug usage or any type of chemicals to delay that child. Now, parents who have special ed children, I want you to hear me out. You need to be concerned. If you don't do anything else, you should consider opening up a parent resource center in your home for special needs children. That resource center will serve to have organizations funnel materials to you that you need for your differentiated learner. And it would allow you to register and ask for products that could help you in the home to help that child to adapt to working as a special needs child. A lot of mothers have special needs children. They don't know where to turn. They've never taught special needs children. They don't have the skill for it, but they can set up a parent resource center in their home that will address the needs of children with differentiated learning. Now, one of the things I have did, along with my book circulation, which is due to be out pretty soon, is that I've opened up a parent resource center online. We just finished the website. It is for African American Indigenous people who have children that are in special education. It actually is a resource center. It provides information where you can get sources of information, material, and assistance for your special needs child. One of the things that African Americans must do, they must request a new evaluation for their special needs child who may have been placed in special education. And I would like to say to you, most of the children placed in special education have been placed there inappropriately because they have not been properly assessed. When a parent tells me they have an ADHD child, I tend to cringe and say, no deal. Where did you get that diagnosis from? Because most diagnoses are just an assessment of evaluation, and the assessment must go farther than that. That child must have an EEG on file to determine if their brain waves are working properly. If they don't have an EEG on file in their records, you cannot convince me that they are clearly diagnosed as an attention deficit disorder child. So therefore, a lot of children who have been placed in special education have been inappropriately placed there because of language barriers. And those children really are language barriers and who should be in ELL or in language, the new language discipline, where they now are being taught how to speak orthodox language. And then they will see that they don't have a learning barrier, but a language barrier. And most of our parents are not understanding that when you send kindergartners to school and preschool, they cannot be babbling. They must be articulating. And a lot of them are not enunciating. They are babbling. They cannot begin the process of school while they're still babbling. And for those of you who have those kindergartners or preschoolers and you're trying to get them in school, you must teach your child to enunciate and to speak the King's language before they go into kindergarten. Now, what about the election? How does that have a barrier on Black people? Well, we should have known from the beginning, just because we vote does not mean that things are going to be different. And we tell people to get out and vote, it's going to make a difference. No. We must know what it is we want. We must know who are the candidates that can provide what we want. We got a lot of candidates in there that have had a history of the criminal law being reinforced and doing a heck of a job on our black men with three strikes out and helping to get them initiated into the criminal institution. Now we got a problem. We got over 80% black men that are enrolled in our incarceration system. And we have two people that are well known for creating laws on the books that will give a black man three strikes, you're out. Now we are going to lock you away and throw away the key. What are we going to do about that? That's what we need to be worried about. Our criminal justice system, we've definitely got to come together. And one gentleman has come together to create a thought. And that thought is, shall we not create our own criminal system and judicial system by creating jurisprudence and creating people of law to set our own laws and to regulate our own initiation of criminal acts? A lot of people that are locked up in prison now are locked up in there because of drug offense. And these are nonviolent drug offense, and they are not criminal cases, and they should be released. So is the judicial system properly judging our people? Are they over-assessing them with the wrong criminal laws? If they are, should we take over the practice of judging our own criminals in our own community? Should we be the ones that set the precedent? Is there anybody out there that has any thoughts on that? I'm going to go to the phone line and see if there's anybody out there on the phone line with the blog talk. If you'd like to call in the blog talk, let me give you our number. You can call in, and you can call in to the number for the guest. It's 516-53-9208. You can call in now with your opinion. Unfortunately, Blog Talk, you're the only ones that can call in and have a phone line. But right here on Facebook, you can raise your hand and come up front if you'd like to talk or type something in. Now, we're not getting enough input from the audience. And let me see who's out here. Thomas is out here, Dwight Smith, Pancho Garth, how are you? Thank you so much for joining me this new year. We're talking about the criminal institution, the system that has broken the backs of our black men and that it has over-assessed them for non-criminal offense. In some states, marijuana has been proven to be legal. But there again, in other states, it is not. But a lot of young men are in prison for small ounces of cocaine, and some of these are not large ounces of the product, so they should not have been considered as a criminal offense because there was no seriousness of murders involved in these acts. So should those men be tried again, given a second chance, and given a chance to come home and live out their sentence at home? Because we got a problem. There's going to be 7-1 women. There's going to be seven women to one man, and women will not have access to the fathers of their babies. So therefore, it's very difficult to lead a household without a dual family member, a male and a female, okay? Now, I'm not just talking same sex. I'm saying a male and a female because right now we're getting to the point where we're finding more same sex that are adopting children, and that can become a problem also if it's not handled appropriately. But once again, what are we talking about here? We're talking about our whole world being turned upside down during the year 2020. We've had so many accusations of death, and we don't know if those are all coronavirus deaths or if they are other deaths of heart attack, stroke. We don't know, because what has happened is every death that is occurring in these hospitals, they have been dubbed with a diagnosis of coronavirus. So we got that going on, in addition to us having a judicial system that is now running. They're running this actual hearing to see if it's going to be the Senate or the House, and we're still unsure of who's going to take over the Democrats or the or is the Democrats going to win over the Republicans? So who's going to run the actual House? So that's up for grabs. But then there's also the problem of the two new contestants, Mrs. Harris and Biden. Are they going to be addressing the needs of the Black people? Are they going to tell us to get in line because his family are going to run the show? We need to know where we're going and where are they coming from. But we got so many issues on the hot seats, we don't know which one to address first. Is there anyone out there that would like to speak? That I am calling anyone out there. Once again, our phone lines are open at 516-453-9208. You are welcome to call in, and you can state your opinion. And don't mind me, because I will be talking until somebody ring that phone line. For joining me this evening. This is New Year's Day, and we are talking about a number of different things. We're talking about our election, the outcome of the election with Mr. Joe Biden, Mrs. Harris. What have they done in their first 100 days? Have they talked about what they're going to do for the Black community? Are we going to become a refugee? That's a big question now. Are we going to be another refugee and treat it like a refugee? Well, if we don't make some noise soon, they will come back at us with the attitude that we can be treated like a refugee. Why do I say that? Because most people say we're not nationalized. We don't have our citizenship. Nobody did affirm our citizenship. So what is on the agenda for the first 100 days? This is the question we should be asking. What is Joe Biden doing? We know that there's still another election running for them to gain control over the Senate or the House of Representatives. We know that that's going on currently, and hopefully shortly we'll know what the outcome is. And once again, you are free to call in at Oracle Divination Network. Our number here is 516-453-9208. For those Law Talk listeners, longtime listeners. They've been listening now for the past 11 years. This is Oracle Divination Network, and we are a network that deal with paranormal issues. And we invite guests on to talk about their paranormal lifestyle. And we also invite men and women of the cloth who are priestly men and women who would like to talk about their gifts that they have and would like to register with us and have membership here at Oracle Divination Network. Once again, we are on the air, and we'd like to say hello again and our roll call to Mr. Thomas Anderson, Dwight Smith, Pastor Garth. Thank you so much for joining us this evening. We have decided to bring in our Oracle Divination Network. We've been absent without leave for a while, but we're back here, and we are doing the doggone thing. We are talking about what are we going to do about our educational system. How can we fix it? Let's go to a commercial.
On the first day of Christmas, my true love gave to me a partridge in a pear tree. On the second day of Christmas, my true love gave to me two turtle doves and a partridge in a pear tree. On the
Divination Network. We are on the air here as well as on Facebook Live. Hello, Facebook friends. Hello, Mr. Thomas, Dwight, Pancho, Rundelike. How are you? Thank you so much for joining me this evening. And we are live here. And for those of you who are on the air with me on Oracle Divination Network, you can call in anytime at those digits at 516 455 1-800-273-9208. Call in with your opinion. We're talking about the situation of the election. Should we be formalizing our own judicial system now? And should we be looking at how to bring our own criminals into our judicial system and make the decision over how they will be chastised and not be so overbearing by over-assessing some of these non-criminals, locking them away, causing taxpayers to pay out large sums of money to the tune of $70,000 per inmate. That's enough to put somebody through college a second time with their master's degree two times over. But we are housing criminals and at the tune of $70,000 or possibly even more than that since the last statistics came out. How can we begin to set up our own judicial system to govern our own criminals and to work with our own people so that they're judged properly? We definitely got to think about the judicial system being overhauled. We got to think about something new in the judicial system. I don't know if you have any suggestions, but I suggest you call in with your opinion. If you're in the Facebook room, raise your hand and come on up front and speak your piece, because we're looking for directions from everyone. Everyone has an opinion, and we want to hear your opinion. And if you have any suggestions about how we can overhaul our virtuous school system, not with just virtuous learning, because most children do not learn well under a virtuous setting. Most children want to go into a traditional school and is bond to flesh and blood and not to just necessarily bonding to blood. Tube, a catheter tube all day long, and they're not bonding to flesh and blood. They need someone there, especially kindergarten, have to bond to flesh and blood. They have to bond to the teachers. They have to model the teachers. And it's very difficult to model from a Zoom screen. So what are we going to do about those little ones? How are we going to readjust the curriculum? And I say that we have to look at how to readjust the curriculum. We cannot be just thinking that all children learn the same. They do not learn the same. And African-American boys are one of them. I've done my study on African-American males, and I know that beyond curriculum, given over to a left brain curriculum coming from a right brain. I suggest they go into a whole brain learning. And once they go into that whole brain learning, those particular children will do much, much better. So we can't necessarily just say, okay, we're going to have all these children learning through a virtuous setting. They have to, at one point, come in contact with flesh and blood. And if they don't, they do not fare well. And I do suggest that African-American teachers take a look at some of my research work that I'm getting ready to put out on African-American males, who I've studied for over 20 years now and have written a statement paper, a thesis document that actually instructs you how to teach African-American children, particularly African-American males. And to talk about the effects that females have on African-American males, well, 80% of the teachers are females, and they are the ones who are making recommendations for African-American males. So it's quite natural that most boys end up in special ed because of the diagnosis and the assessment that female teachers have impose on them. So one of the things we have to remember, we have to make sure by fourth grade that they are handled by a male teacher. And a male teacher will introduce the logical left brain learning to that black male child. And at that point, the child begins to become a man. Iron sharpens iron, so we know that it takes a male to make another male. However, I didn't say that the female teacher could not teach. They must do a dual teaching and working with that young black boy so he could see dual teaching in the classroom. However, that female must introduce that child, that male child in fourth grade, to a male teacher. It doesn't necessarily have to be a black teacher, but I prefer that black teachers teach black children because black children have something called melanin. And because they have something called melanin, they learn from their melanin, which is in their skin. Their skin becomes a brain. They can pick up information from their skin because the skin is the heaviest part that carries the melanin. So they can walk across a room, rub their hand on a book or an object, and pick up the information just by virtue of their melanin-enriched skin. Yes, let's talk about it. We are melanin-enriched people. For us that are indigenous first world people, we have something uniquely called melanin. And melanin is not just a byproduct. It's not just a hue for our skin. It is a brain. And in my studies, I actually found that melanin is a functional brain. And it is throughout the body, heavily regulated in our warm pit. If some of you remember when the Atlanta boys were missing and they couldn't find them, when they finally found them, they found them missing genital areas, and the melanin was removed from their bodies. So what is this urge to capture melanin, and why would somebody want to take the melanin out of a black child? Because it's very valuable. Melanin is a sleep aid. It also regulates sleep to regulating the two lobes of the brain, where the synapse carries information from the right side to the left side. It actually is a brain. So melanin is well sought after, very sought after. Michael Jackson gave his melanin away. So can you imagine how sought after Michael Jackson's melanin was? We don't even know the history and story behind that. Why did he give up his melanin? And did he pay a price for his melanin? The question is still unresolved. But the real question is, what do we do about our melanin-enriched children who learn differently, who cannot sit in front of a virtuous screen all day, who must bond to flesh and blood and not to hardware? What do we do about that? How do we handle that, Punch or Garth? Can you give us any suggestions? How do we handle giving children what they need in the classroom? These children are going to be really deranged now, because we are missing that interaction, the ability to compete, the interaction to develop friendship, camaraderie, and competition. Where is the ability to be in competition? Those things are the utmost things that African-American children need in order to feel like they can excel in not only their knowing, but they have an understanding that when I master something, I work with my friend, my brother, or sister in the class to help them to master it. They are communal learners. They are not individual learners where they learn on their own. This is not a curriculum for the masses of black children. Black children do not learn individually where they're working independent. They learn in communal groups. They work with themselves until they all master it. They start an activity and curriculum together, and they finish together. But so where is the consideration being had for the black children that are doing this so-called virtual school? I've been a school teacher for over 40 years, and never in my life have I seen where when you put a child off to himself to learn, he misses something. He misses the challenge, the competition. He misses the camaraderie to cheer each other on. Now, granted that these tools are doing a lot of education for adults, but I don't know how well they are fathoming for children. But we must ask the question, when we talk to our president, what are we going to do about our school system? You have taken most females off work, and now their jobs are evaporated. The child workers are no longer at work working. So you got a problem with masses of teachers who are well-educated with master's degrees and PhD degrees, and they are not working. And they're not being put to work. They're collecting a substance. So what are you going to do with the masses of our women who have been highly educated? What are you going to do? What alternative can you offer them? But you cannot continue to say that it's okay to keep Johnny at home. Well, he has no school teacher at home to teach him. Most parents don't realize that they're the first teacher. Why not offer incentive to these mothers to go back to get their child development credential and go into the homes and work from these screens to do large sums of teaching in large stadiums with the mother and the child, getting the infant color ready so that they're not behind. Our child care workers are sitting at home now. Only the essential workers for child care are working. But what do these teachers do that have to renew their license and get lots of credentials and course upon course, continuing education? They are well educated, but yet they're sitting at home. It seems like all of this is a conspiracy. It's a serious conspiracy. And then when I see on television Bill Gates and his wife make the suggestion that our essential workers get the vaccine first, and then African Americans or indigenous people get the vaccine next. Why? Why would she say that? Is there something in the vaccine that can track us? Are they giving us more than the vaccine? Should we be concerned? I asked Mr. President, what does he do when people start getting a phone call that we're coming to your neighborhood to inoculate, to vaccine you? I got a phone call like that coming from Chicago.
Neighborhoods frequently mentioned on the web include downtown Manhattan, downtown Los Angeles, Hollywood, and others.
We're not talking about that. See, they threw me off the air when I said that. But they are going to come knocking and asking about you taking the vaccine. My question is, what are you going to do? Have you gotten your house in order? Have you gotten appropriate paperwork to prevent you from having to take this vaccine? And what is in the vaccine? And it has to be a bit of the virus. You cannot create a vaccine without putting the virus in there. So my question is, are we going to be taking a bit of the poison? Or for those who agree to take it, we have to find out where do we stand when it comes to this vaccine? What are our rights? What right of standing do you have? Now, getting back to this education system, I just think if we left working parents to figure out what to do, and left them to be the teacher at home, knowing they have to go to work, and left them to themselves to survive, for these children to survive, who may get in trouble, who may fall off the wagon, and who may not ever get any education because they are distracted. So what about the special ed children? How do they remain like a scholar and deal with virtual schooling when they can't even follow the teacher in the classroom in person? We got a serious problem with those special ed children. How are they going to be getting the help they need? Well, mothers, some of you are going to have to become educators, and you're going to have to start educating in your home. Like it or not, you have an obligation first to be the child's first teacher. And if you're falling behind, you have an obligation to teach that child and teach them phonemic awareness, reading readiness skills, and teach them encoding, outcoding, so they can proficiently be able to decode and read words. We have a serious, serious problem. Our children are going to come out uneducated, and we're going to wonder, why didn't we teach that child to have better penmanship? Why is that child's penmanship unacceptable? Then sit down and teach them how to cursive write, how to do Dinelian writing. Teach them how to read cursive writing. Do that for yourself, or else pay a tutor to come in to teach that child to properly write. But we cannot go on with this business as usual, that is going, we're going to get back to business as usual. In the meantime, the child is suffering. So some of you have a background teaching, just not at the time. Then bring a tutor in, pay a tutor. Do something to help that child. Don't just leave that child to themselves. But once again, getting back to our judicial system, how do you know that we have a right to establish our own judicial system? Why can't we attempt to set up a group of people to help us to decide what will we put in our judicial system? How will we judge our fellow man? And what about our elders? What about our Baba laws and our priestesses and our elders? Why can't they uphold the judicial system for judging criminal or potential criminal? Why can't the police department call them in to ask them to offer up their skills to help them make proper judgments over potential criminals? No, because they are judging too harshly. They are judging inappropriately. Most people don't have the sensitivity to work with Black people. They don't know their struggle, and they really have no business handling them. And we have judges that are on the bench that are really not judges and who have not been ordained to be judges to hear certain cases. But yet we still keep looking to them for our salvation. What are we going to do unless we speak to the man inside? For our guidance, we're going to be always inappropriately guided. And now you have Ice-T, talking about looking at his agenda, and nobody's talking about his agenda now. We really need to be putting his agenda into full effect. We really need to be talking about breaking down each one of those categories and adhering to those agendas, because we need a standard lift up. There's no standard lift up. And there's no standard lift up this case with. And so, 453-9208. You can call in at any time. Come on and call in. We'd love to hear from you. Production studio. Once again, thank you so much to my Blog Talk friends. Oracle Diva Nation Network is on the air. If anyone cares to call in, you can call those digits at 516-453-9208. You can call in and personally talk to the host about your opinion about the school situation, about us creating our own judicial system and our own police force. What about it, people? How do we do that? If you have not done so, call someone and tell them that Omi's on the air and come out and support me and give me those two thumbs up and become a follower. We've had over 100 people sign up in my Oracle Divination Network room as followers, and they've been consistent followers for over 11 years. I want to thank every one of those followers in my Oracle Divination Network room. They've been following me since I started the organization, and this organization is to talk about things that are, or things that make you want to question your spirituality, talking about visualizing dreams, being clairvoyant, being clairaudient, talking about spiritual people who have the gift of healing. And we interviewed these people, and we've done so over the past 11 years. You can go out and listen to some of the stories. We don't do a whole lot of interviewing now. We're more education, and we're educating people on spirituality. If you're interested in becoming a priestly person and would like to be ordained or prepare to be ordained as a priest or priestesses, we do have information here that we can share with you and break bread with you. For those young men who would like to have a destiny reading and who would like to have the right hand of Ifa, we do give the right hand of Ifa, and we give destiny readings to give you a direction for your life. Where is your path? Every child should have a destiny reading. Within my curriculum that I have for African American males, we have a spiritual threshold so that every child knows they must have a way of life, and that way of life is spiritual, because you cannot make it in society without a commitment and a relationship to your higher self. How do you get a relationship to your higher self? You sit down and you meditate, and you wait for God to speak to you. You get in a quiet place so you and God can commune. God exists, rule, and abide within your being. It's on your head, and it's called Ori. We worship a God called Oladipo, who created the universe, but also pay homage to our higher self, and that is Ori that sits on our head. You cannot do anything in this world except you connect with your ancestors and they guide you. How many of you support libation? This is the first New Year, and we are going to erect the actual libation. And I'm going to ask you to do the same thing in your household. Pour libation. Call on your ancestors. Let them know. Got a little problem over there. We're going to pour libation. And those of you who are still coming back to our Facebook, I want to talk to Oracle Divination Network, because we are going to pour libation. And we are going to let most of the people know our phone lines are open. You can call into our phone line at 516-453-9208. You can call in at any time and voice your opinion. We're getting ready to do libation, and we've done libations traditionally in this classroom. And let's see if we can go over here to our.
You deserve this. But wait a minute. Is this an ad interrupting your me time? Yes. Yes, it is.
We're going to go to some music over here.
Ad-free music. That means more of this. And absolutely no more of these. Thank you.
Ashley, Ashley Pope. I like to call out my ancestors, Eugene Lilly. I like to also call out my heroes and sheroes, Madam C.J. Walker, Harriet Tubman. I like to call out Toussaint Louverture. I like to call out Bookman Dundee. I like to call out John Jacques Dessalines. And if you have any ancestors, call them out. Go over to your set up your altar. If you haven't done so, you need to set up your altar. Your altar is very important. The altar. Set up the altar with candles. And also, put your cigars, the fermented things in your on your altar. It's very important that you understand that we are indigenous people. Ancestors cannot help us if they don't know who we are. Going to get out of this mess is that we stay connected to ancestors all in time, and our ancestors will be the solution to help us get out of the problem that we're in. A lot of people are thinking that we're waiting for the president to come with a solution for us. Nobody's going to save us but us from us. And we have to understand that we need a commitment to commune together. If we don't do anything else on these airways, we come together to talk about solutions for our educational system, for our children, for our election system, for the new president. What must we do for our community problems? And this is a New Year day, so all of us should be coming up with New Year resolutions of what we're going to do to change our situation. What are we going to do? Well, for one, you need to come on in this house. What's your opinion? You can call in at 516-456-453-9208. Call in, and you can talk live to the host today. You can talk stuff to me if you want to. You can even disagree with me. It doesn't matter. It's still going to hold. I have an opinion. And we are Gentile people, and we all think differently. So they keep thinking blacks are never going to come together. We're never going to do anything. That's because we're tribal people. We oftentimes have different opinions, but that's no reason for us not to come together. We must do that today. And we're going to go over here to see what's going on in our phone lines, see if there's anybody in the queue. If you are in the queue, then come on out and let us know that you are here to talk stuff. Is there anyone here to talk stuff? Yeah. Come on in. those that we are dealing with now. Welcome back. Welcome back. I'll talk people. Thank you so much for coming back. As well as Facebook, we are on different because I'm holding two circuit boards here. Once again, we lost a little power there. There was a room full of people. We lost power. I hope they'll come back. We want to welcome Evelyn to the room as well as Denise. Thank you so much for joining us, Evelyn and Denise, our newcomers here. And we are live here on Oracle Divination Network. For those of you who are looking for paranormal, who dream dreams, who are clairvoyant, seers into the lives of others, who are clairaudio, and would like to be recognized for your gifts, whereas you do not have that same opportunity in your traditional life, we have a way of life here. It is not based on religion or church, but a way of life from our ancestors. Our traditional Yoruba teaching teaches us we have a way of life, and we are not dealing with forefathers. We are dealing with setting up our actual oracles in our home, teaching people how to set up their altars, how to go before God and fellowship with the Godhead that lives within. We talk about how you can begin to tap into knowing the mind of God, because your higher self, God, rests, rules, and abides within you. And because God rules and rests, abides within you, you have to make contact with God through meditation. You have to spend some time talking to God about yourself. You, in fact, become the God, and God said he told you to take dominion over this earth and subdue it. He did not say he would come here and part the sky to do anything for you and I. The God that created this universe is on the outer course of heaven, and we must depend on Ori, the self. That is our higher self. That is the God that we confide in, and we must find that. And set up our altars and go to our altars and plead with God to help put us in his plan, put us on the path, and give us the right hand of Ephah. And the doors of the church are open now. Right hand fellowship for those who are looking for a way of life. We are not talking to you about joining a church for membership. We're not talking to you about giving 10% tithe. We're talking about you having a way of life. And with my educational system curriculum, I prepare a curriculum for a way of life, not only for education and academic, but for the spiritual life as well. That's what makes my early childhood curriculum different from everyone else. It is based on a traditional spiritual way of life. It's Omi's way of life. And as you can see, the school that I have been using in my home to provide a way of life for my grandson, to give him the beginning knowledge, prepare to receive the right hand of each father. And as he learns how to utilize the didactic, he learns about the spiritual life as well. After being a teacher for over 40 some years, I realized it was much important to put spirituality in a child, to know the spirit of a child, guide that child through life for indefinite time. When we are not only putting academic, that child does not have the sensitivity he needs to go in and to make decisions over situations that are delicate, that deals with flesh and blood. We have taken children and bonded them to hardware. They had no heart for anything. Now they can pick up a gun and shoot their parents and loved ones and friends because they have lost the heart and soul of a hero. Our child to be able to take dictation, we teach them to listen with their ears and with their heart. So we must continue to teach spirituality in the classroom, and we must teach and also
have them repent and ask for forgiveness of their higher self, and they will self-improve themselves and direct themselves in the right way. When you hide the word in the heart of a child, he will not depart from it, but will he need to have that deep heart. He won't forget it. And he will remember at all times to use that word. And what is that word? What is the word we should be looking at? We should be teaching them about our ancestors, and that our ancestors never die. They come back, and we believe in reincarnation. So our ancestors are so ever present with us. When they make the transition, go from eldership to ancestralship, they're still here with us in our hearts. And we can call them whenever we want. As our children begin to know this, they begin to stand on their melanin. Their melanin is what makes them rich and strong. It is like a brain. It is something called the brain. And we must remember that we cannot just look at our melanin as a hue and as a conductor, but it is a conductor of energy to help us to utilize our right lobe and our left lobe. It acts as a brain in our arm, in our armpits, in all the warm areas. And it's very vital that you should know what makes you different. You is because you were made in God and his likeness. I'd like to thank you so much for joining me this evening. And who do we have here? Jordan, how are you doing? And Russell, how are you? Thank you so much for joining us. We are talking about our election day. Did the Black Indigenous First World people have anything to do with the election? And did we make a difference in our voting? If not, should we set up our own? Should we have our own day in court, so that we can be innocent until proven guilty? And all those men who are locked up falsely, who are in the need to really look at what can we do to find a way to have those men released. What can we do? Hello?
Things we are creating things this year. I project And the fear tells me we are going to be creating our own judicial system this year. We will come up with those Jewish students and lawyers that are out there. If you are born a lawyer, no matter what education you get, it's already in you. It's in all of us. It's in each and every one of us to be a Jewish student. And for the gentleman that is working on this project, he is looking for all of those constituents that can come out and lend their jurisdiction, the judicial background. So I have libations to those judicial people that will help put together our new judicial system, a fair and honest judicial system, a system that will begin to help us to understand that we cannot continue on letting someone decide. Stay tuned on Blog Talk.
American family, but we
must come to understanding that we cannot go on any longer right out of the boat without receiving it. We must come to this election that will help us to be a better people. But it's very vital that if we get Kamala Harris in there and she decides she wants to bring up laws that will imprison our black men, and if Joe Biden decides that he's going to reinforce that, then we have to take a stand on that. We know that that's what they stand for. They put acts and laws into effect that has incarcerated our black men. Some of the black men are in there for non-criminal. And we got two people to vote to have these two people come back and reiterate laws that will lock up the black man and woman. We've got to look at how do we stand on that and how do we stand on the vaccination. Where are we on that? Our phone lines are open here in the Blog Talk Room. And the phone lines are 516-453-9208. You can call in to Oracle Divination Network at any time. We are here to serve you. We are your advocates, and we are here to serve you. For those of you who don't know where you're at, you better ask somebody. You're in the room of Oracle Divination Network. Yes. All right now, ladies and gentlemen, we are about to bring the new kids on the block. Stay tuned. The new kids are coming on the block. All right, here we go. About a way of life. I am not talking about tying you to a membership to become a religiosity person, but to get to know yourself and the God that lives inside of yourself. So if you are searching, wanting to know this year, which faith should you join? Which church should you join? But make a commitment to yourself to set up your own ritualistic path in your home so you can go to your altar at any time and plead for the changes in your life. You must remember